Church tonight by God's grace, and then Pastor and Mrs. White have some donuts for Walker and Callie and the Watsons, and it's a family affair, amen. So there would not be them without y'all, amen. All right, hopefully we had been thinking about you last week, because we're going to brainstorm a little bit here about how the church at Ephesus could have left their first love. So I'm asking you to brainstorm a little bit, give you some of the input that was given already, and then hopefully we'll kind of see what is going on with this church here. Amen. All right. Revelation chapter number 2, and if you've got your Bible there and if you're able, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to go to verses 1 through 4. Revelations chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Amen. Revelations chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4. We'll cover 5 as well by God's grace as well. Amen. All right. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any omies? Amen. All right. Read with me starting in verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and has borne, and has patience, and for my namesake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Amen. Father, bless now the moments that we have together, Lord, as we brainstorm and kind of look at this church and look at this question, how can you leave your first love? Lord, I pray that your hand of mercy may guide us and direct us in our discussion. And Lord, teach us much from your word. Help us, Lord, once again to come to the house of God, to the throne of grace, to leave here differently than when we came in, a little bit more knowledgeable, Lord, a little bit more spiritual, Lord, a little bit more sacrificial, and a little bit more like Jesus Christ in that which we need. Bless now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, we've been talking about these church ages represented here, the church types represented, and the Christian types represented here as well. And we began looking at the church at Ephesus, gave you the background on that, and I left you with a question, and the question was this: how can you leave your first love? The rebuke to them in verse number 4 was, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And we looked at the good things. We saw the commendations that were given to them. We saw the reputation there in verse number 2. Notice their reputation. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. That's a pretty good reputation, isn't it? Amen. Now, if we at Shining Light are known for that, that's a pretty good reputation. Brother down in Mexico, if you're known for that, it's a pretty good reputation. Amen. So that's good. And that's what they have been known for. But then we saw also their resilience. Notice verse number 3. He says, and has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. He said, you didn't quit. You didn't give up. He says, through your scrutiny of error. And that's what we looked at. We went all the way back to the church of Ephesus, how it was started back in Acts. And Paul gave them that warning. He said, look, watch out. There's going to come some people in here, try to wreck this church. He said, they're going to come from outside. They're going to come from within. And so they had built up inside them this scrutiny for error. They were watchful. They were like, look, watch out. Anybody coming in looking suspicious? If you come in with a white collar on with all black, what are we going to be suspicious of? Probably a false doctrine. Amen. If they come in wearing something and they got this green looking book and with a long robe with a turban and they got a book other than the Bible, what are we going to be suspicious of? Another doctrine. I'm not going to tell you which doctrine that is, but I'm sure you'll probably get my drift. They said their name began with Muhammad. Amen. So there's certain different things that we look for in our scrutiny of error, and we should. And Paul said, hey, look, now the reputation, or not Paul, John is writing here through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the reputation is good. He said, your resilience is good. But then he says, there's a rebuke here. Nevertheless, through all their scrutiny of error and all their looking through the binoculars to make sure the spiritual spectacles were put on them. He said, for doing all that, you had a problem. You put more emphasis on that than me. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And I said, out of all the churches in the seven churches listed here, number one, Ephesus, and number seven, Laodicea, is closely related to the churches of today. Now, they all are related in some way. But if you look at fundamental churches in particular, we are very big sticklers on error. Man, we're going to make sure that our church is pure. No error here. Don't come in with no foolishness. Don't bring any false gods in here. Don't come in here with any idols in here. Don't come in here with this, that, or the other, and we start naming them off. Amen. If they come in with that, Pastor White, get them at the door. We're already looking for it. Now, is that right? To a degree, yes. But if we leave our first love? No. And that was their problem. And I fear as Christians, sometimes that happens. We err on the side of our scrutiny of error more so than the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And I left with this question last week. How can you leave your first love? Some of the input that I got was selfishness, maybe, will cause you to leave your first love. Bitterness may cause you to leave your first love. Pride may cause you to leave your first love. Neglect may cause you to leave your first love. Here's a big one. Hurt may cause you to leave your first love. Anybody ever been hurt? I have. Hey, that can cause you to turn your back real quick. But wait a minute, but we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. Well, some unfairness can cause you to turn your back and leave your first love. You ever thought Jesus was unfair to you sometimes? If we're honest, sometimes. Sometimes. And what he's given us and what he hasn't given us. And what he has made us go through and what he's allowed us to go through. What we wanted as opposed to what he gave us. And sometimes we don't think it's fair. As a preacher, sometimes I think, Lord, why can't I have a big church? Why can't I have this? Why can't I have that? And God says, it's not for you. Well, they got it over there. And what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And that's what you get back. And you think, Hey. I'm sure you've been there with something, maybe not what I've been there through. You suck your thumb, your spiritual thumb. God says, why don't you go over there? I want you to talk to them. Feeling sorry for yourself? Unfair. Sometimes cause you to kind of leave your first love over in your corner. Then you bring out your harp. Nobody knows the trouble I sing. Nobody cares. Y'all know that song. I know y'all sing it too. I'm not the only one. I know y'all heard my song over these past 6 months. Again? What didn't I learn the first time? And evidently I didn't learn something because again? And I thought, Lord, what? Unfairness, misunderstanding maybe. God meant it for your good. You thought God meant it for your hurt. This church left their first love. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first. He said, look, verse 2, he said, your reputation through your scrutiny of error is outstanding. Verse 3, your resilience through your scrutiny of error is outstanding. He said, but wait a minute. Somewhere along the line, you left me out. So that's just several things that have been put down here as to how you could leave your first love. Think of something you once loved or you once loved to do that you no longer love or love to do. And what caused you not to love that? Or what caused you not to love to do that anymore? Of course, some things we outgrow. Okay? Now, you shouldn't have a temper tantrum on a pity party. Yeah, you should outgrow that. Amen? We used to love to do that. Why? Mama come over. Oh, it's okay, baby. Yeah, that's right. I feel sorry for me. So certain things that we used to love to do, we don't do anymore because we outgrew them. But think of something that you loved that you no longer love. Or something that you love to do that you no longer love to do. Give me some input. What are some things that maybe we once loved that we no longer love to do? Now, I'm not saying it's not sinful. It's just that we love to do it. But we no longer love to do it.
Keeping the church practices just get to focus on non-important stuff. You shifted your time and energy towards something else. Mm-hmm.
It definitely could have. It was definitely something else. We definitely know it was definitely something else because now the Bible doesn't tell us what it is. Now, does Jesus know what it is? Yes, he knows what it is. And I bet they knew what it was, too. Part of it, we see the scrutiny of error. Verse 2 and 3, they were so watchful. And rightfully so, because Paul had written to them and said, watch out for this. So rightfully so, they had this scrutiny problem down, and rightfully so, but at the expense of Christ. And I think sometimes we, and I mentioned this last week, we can hold the standard up so high that nobody can get into it. Not even us, the truth be known. And so there obviously was something that happened to them that caused them to lose their first love. And Brother Watson, just like you, I put down, we can get so caught up with other things that we forget about the one person who saved us. There's nothing wrong with things, but they should never take precedence over Christ. And when things take precedence over Christ, guess what? We have left our first love. And guess what? We voluntarily left. It's not like it was an accident, like, oops, I left Jesus. No, we voluntarily said, oh, and little by little. Because nobody leaves God like this. I would jump, but y'all know I can't jump. And land over here. And I'm so far away from God. How did I get it? It normally, for the average Christian, it doesn't happen that way. Walker, it kind of happens like this. And I moved so slow. When I used to sail with my dad, we'd be in the boat, and he'd say, boy, did you put the anchor down? Yeah, I put it down. Why are we way over here? And slowly we drift. Slowly the boat would drift. And my dad said, boy, you sure you put that anchor down? And I put it out, but I didn't put it down. So it's kind of hanging over the boat like that. And it's just sailing in the water like this. It's not hitting the ground. Yeah, I put it out, Dad. And he should have said, did you let it hit the ground? And we drift. And we possibly the church at Ephesus, in their scrutiny of error, kept looking for error. Oh, there's another error. One step away. There's another error. Another step away. Oh, there's another error. And guess who I'm not focusing on? That one up there, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I got yours. Brother Gary, I got yours. Shane, I got yours. Uh-huh. I got Leslie. Yeah. I got Andrea and Paula. Yeah. I got all those. I've got my list checking it twice, finding out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus ain't coming to your town tonight, buddy. You know, I'm getting all this down. And slowly, and through the scrutiny of error, possibly, there are things that you and I have loved to do at one time that we no longer love to do. And for most of us, we didn't just drop it. My wife loves to sew. And she's a great seamstress. She studied it in school. But she doesn't sow as much. What happened? Children, husband, ministry, other things. That's great to be able to sow, but other things came in there. And that's not as important. But when it's Jesus, that's highly important. That's highly important. Now, the Bible doesn't say, other than the commendations that were given in verse 2 and verse 3, it is possible they were so occupied with their scrutiny of error, God gave them some resounding marks on their reputation and their scrutiny of error and their resilience through the scrutiny of error in verses 2 and 3, but then he gave them this rebuke, and it could be that their neglect came because they were focusing so much on that which was wrong instead of that which is right. Parents, we can make the mistake with our children. We can focus on so much that's wrong with them that we forget what's right with them. And by the way, they do a whole lot more right than wrong, I guarantee you. Especially if there are any Christian kids going on, amen. They're going to do a whole lot more right than wrong. But we can focus so much on the wrong that they do that when they hear you call, they think they're in trouble. Amen. I've been guilty of that. I called Joshua the other day. And he came down. Yes, Dad. I said, oh, this. He said, whew, I thought I was in trouble. I thought, uh-oh, daddy check. Faith, come here, baby. Yes. I want you to see something. Grandma sent you a birthday greeting. Oh, I thought I was in trouble. Daddy check. Sometimes we can pick out more of the scrutiny of their errors that we forget to see the good. And guess what? When we keep focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you a good balance. He gives you a good balance. The Bible doesn't state how they left, but let me give you two suggestions that are possible. Two suggestions. Number one, it's possible they forgot the cost and cause of the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's possible they forgot the cost and the cause. What was the cost? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Now think about it. The cost was great. The cost was God's only begotten son. It's possible that they forgot the cost that got them to where they were at. The cost is not about the scrutiny of error. The cost is about God giving heaven's best for them. And when you forget how much it cost God and how expensive it was for God, it's easy to turn your back because you forget how expensive it was. Pat, Mrs. White, would you give your car up to somebody who cares nothing about how much it costs and how much it meant to you? Not at all. I mean, could you give it to Terrell? Now, I saw him at Autobahn. And he crashed the wall. But give it to Terrell. You know that he doesn't have the skills yet to drive it. So you wouldn't trust that car to him on the road. Terrell said you wouldn't. No, she wouldn't. Amen. Call the insurance company first. I'm about to have an accident here. How much liability do I have on this thing? Why? He doesn't have the skills yet. When you and I get saved, we have to understand it costs God everything. And it could be they forgot how much it cost them to be saved. Can we forget? Sometimes we can forget. In our scrutiny of error, we're looking at everybody else's errors. And we forget that it costs the same to get them as it costs to get me. And these folks at Ephesus could have been looking more outside than inside. It's possible they forgot the cost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But then also in the second part of that, possible they forgot the cause. That whosoever believeth in him should not what? What's the cause? That you and I would not perish. Now think about it. We get to go to heaven and not go to hell. It's possible they forgot that they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It cost God something. And there was a cause. The cause was that we don't go to hell. But when I'm trying to be so busy scrutinizing everybody's errors and how wicked everybody else, and they probably are, amen, I forget. I was the cost and the cause. He gave heaven's best for me too. Now, is it okay to scrutinize for error? We should. But it's got to be a balance. And I believe it's possible they forgot the cost and cause of the relationship that they had when it comes to John 3:16. 1 John 4:19. Look at that real quick. And notice what that one says. 1 John 4, yeah, in Revelation, just go back real quick. 1 John 4:19. It says, we love him because he what? First loved us. So it's possible they forgot the cost and the cause of the relationship. They're so busy looking on everybody else's errors that they're scrutinizing, they forget that they too had errors once upon a time. You know, those of us that are called to preach, Brother Watson, Brother Scott, Pastor White, we weren't always preachers. There was a BC before Christ, and it wasn't pretty. At least mine wasn't, brother. I don't know about yours. Yours probably look a whole lot better than mine, Brother Scott. Yours probably did too. Pastor White, you're from North Carolina, so I don't know about you. But, you know, we all have a BC day. And it's easy to forget about my BC days and start looking at everybody else's errors and start scrutinizing them. Boy, look at you. Look at purple hair. Tattoos. Earrings. Ooh, homosexual. Cross-dresser. Thief. Murderer. And it's so easy to start saying, let me scrutinize you, that I can forget. And such were some of you. And I believe that the church at Ephesus had a great start in their scrutiny of error, but they some way they eased away from the cost and the cause of the relationship in question. But then number two, I believe it's possible this could have happened as well. They could have forgotten their commitment in the relationship. By the way, when you got married, was it a commitment? Yes, it was a commitment. Till death do we what? Do we part? And by the way, when you and I get saved, this is the same way. There is a commitment there, and it's possible that they forgot their commitment in the relationship. By the way, what makes it so easy to welch on the commitment when it comes to salvation for you and I? Why is it so easy for us to welch on our commitment side? Didn't cost us a thing. And guess how long we're saved for? I can go over here and sin, and guess what? I'm still saved. I can go over here and smoke a cigarette, and guess what? I'm still saved. Now, you'll feel miserable as the devil. At least you ought to, amen. I can go over here and not do right, and I'm still what? Saved. And so when it comes to the commitment, we know that we're eternally saved. Now, if we were like one of the other religions where you got to work for it, guess what? We'd be out there busy. We'd be abstaining from this, that, and the other. But we know we're eternally secure, and sometimes it can get easy for us not to hold up a commitment to the Lord. Amen. Hey, think about husbands and wives. What keeps us married? Commitment. Commitment. Now, we love each other, yes, but we're committed to each other. Even when you don't feel lovable and when you don't feel lovely, guess what? Commitment says, I am sticking with the stuff. I don't care. I don't care how much hair I lose. I don't care how much weight I gain. I don't care how many boots I have on. Amen. I don't care how many wrinkles I get. We're committed. Committed, right, honey? Amen. Hey, it doesn't matter. And I think sometimes they may have forgotten their commitment in the relationship. What does Romans 12 beseech us to do? Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies what? A living sacrifice. What is that? That's a commitment. That's saying I'm going to put myself on the altar of sacrifice. It's done. I'm alive, but I'm sacrificial with my life. And sometimes that commitment, we take back on that. And it's possible they forgot the cost and the cause, but it's also possible they forgot their commitment in the relationship. And by the way, what's needed in commitment? There's several ingredients in a commitment. If you're committed to somebody, what will you probably do? At least these three things. Be faithful, okay. Sacrifice, okay. If you're committed, at least three things.
Endless,
unconditional sacrifice or commitment. I'm going to be there.
Honesty.
I hope I would have some honesty. But if they're not honest, am I still going to stick it out?
Yeah.
Three basic things. If there's going to be some commitment, I should have some communication with the person. I should have some communication. I should have some confession. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did this or I did that. I'm sorry I didn't do this. I'm sorry I went there. Bless my wife's heart last night. She went to bed and I got in the bed and hit her in the nose. And I heard it too, you know, and when you sleep and you hear something, you know you heard it. And I thought, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She said, oh, my nose could be black and blue, you know, broken, you know, bloody. You know, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I killed my wife. No. It's her. My husband woke up in the morning and she says it's a swollen. I think it's a little swollen. No, it looks okay, honey. It's all right. Amen. She didn't kick me out of the bed. She did give me some space, though. You know what I'm saying? You get your room. I got my room. Don't expect no closeness tonight. I wasn't trying to do that, but it happened. And you know what? I said, honey, I'm sorry. She said, I know you didn't mean to do it. I know you didn't mean to do it. Confession, commitment, communication. And I got contact, but not that kind of contact. We don't want that kind of contact. But there should be some kind of contact if I have commitment. And it's possible that the church at Ephesus, they forgot that in something that requires commitment, there's going to be some communication, some confession, and some contact. Why do you say that, preacher? Because it's definite that they left their first love. Notice what he says down there. Go back to Revelations. It's definite that they left their first love. Revelations chapter number 2. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. So it's possible they forgot the cost and the cause of the relationship. It's possible they forgot the commitment involved in the relationship. Jesus gave all for them, and he expected something back for them. Amen. By the way, when you get in a relationship with someone and you're committed, is it easy to take the other for granted? Whether it's a husband and a wife, whether it's a child and a parent relationship, you know, children expect to be fed. Did y'all realize that? Children expect, they expect to be fed. They expect food to be on the table, especially teenagers, amen? You let there not be some food for breakfast. Sometimes my kids will kind of look around like, you know, G2's old enough now. We're like, boy, you old enough, you better get in there and cook. Don't you be looking around for none of you. Mom ain't no slave. Get in there and cook, and then he'll cook his own. I said, you better cook for your sister and your brother. Well, I don't know what they want. Ask. And get to cook his own stuff and say, no, it's not self-preservation. You have more miles to be. But sometimes they expect to be fed. And sometimes they expect to be fed 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You let hour go by, but it's lunchtime. And your point is, were you expecting something? I was expecting to eat. Your expectations will be failed today. You're not getting anything. Wait till dinner. Get a peanut butter sandwich. Your mother's got better things to do than to get y'all, wait on y'all hand and foot all the time. Fix your own stuff. Amen. And so sometimes it's easy to take children for granted. Parents take children for granted. Children take the parents for granted. Husbands take the wives for granted. We take our jobs for granted sometimes. We take our bosses for granted, amen, until we don't have it anymore. And so these things can happen. He said, you have left your first love. It's definite. And notice this, the word left there means to forsake, to lay aside, to let alone, to yield up. So he says, you did this voluntarily. Now, whether it's because you forgot the cost and the cause in a relationship, whether you forgot the commitment in a relationship, you definitely left this. Your scrutiny of error somehow has gotten your eyesight off of that which it should be on. And as a result there of them leaving their first love, it caused their fallen loyalty. By the way, no other church is called out for leaving their first love. Interesting, huh? And some of the other churches had some gross sins. But Ephesus is the only one that's called into question for leaving their first love. That's interesting, isn't it? And some of the others had worse sins in our book. Ephesus looks good. They look real good. But they're called into question because they left their first love, thinking, what? Just goes to show you, God's judgment is different than ours. God sees the heart. God sees the individual. God knows what's on the inside. And we don't. Their definite leaving of their first love caused a fallen loyalty. verse number 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. What did they fall from? Their first love. He says, you've fallen from your first love. He says, and repent. Notice this. And do the first works. What are the first works? Their love. He said, you loved me at one point. But now you're so caught up on your scrutiny of error that you left that out. And you can't scrutinize error adequately without loving me. By the way, neither can we. We can't scrutinize error adequately without the love of Jesus Christ, because he judges fairly. And he said, you left me out, and your scrutiny of error is skewed. He says, you need to repent. You need to return to your first works. He says, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick, that's the church, out of his place, except thou repent. So he says, your definite leaving of your first love caused a fallen loyalty. The word fallen there means to drop away, to be driven out of one's course, to lose or become inefficient. Their loyalty was more to protecting error and false doctrine in the church than loving their Lord. And folks, we can get there. We can get there. Should we protect against error? Yes, we should. But not at the expense of loving Jesus. Why? Our love of Jesus helps us to scrutinize through the eyes of God. And everybody's different. You can't measure everybody by the same judgment scale. Oh, yes, we've got the Bible, but without the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to get it wrong. I'm so glad that somebody didn't throw me out, the baby with the bathwater. I was pretty dirty when I came into church. I was pretty dirty. I didn't have a whole lot. I had a whole lot of sin. I'm so glad that they didn't chuck me out and say, we don't have time for you. Let's get somebody else in here. They took some time for me. But you know what? If they'd looked at me the way Ephesus was looking at people, I don't think I'd have stood a chance. Hey, folks, I was still in the church praying like this, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And I looked around. Nobody else was praying like that. I thought, I wonder what's wrong with them. Don't they know this is a Catholic thing? We're supposed to do this? You can't pray right without this. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You can't pray right unless you do that. It's not complete without doing that. And I looked around. I thought, oh, these people are weird. They're not doing that. You know what they didn't do? They didn't say, boy, stop that. This is a Baptist church. Get out of here with that junk. God showed me and God told me. You don't need to do that for me to hear your prayers. That's not necessary, son. I hear you. It's okay. You don't have to cross it. It's fine. You'll live. I mean, will God hear me if I don't do this? I'm so glad. They were directed to get back to their first works, their first love. Not for the ministry's sake. Not for men's sake or the praise of men. Not for mentality's sake. What is mentality's sake? It's right to do. What were they told to get back for the motive sake of love? Love for their Lord. They left their first love. I'll give you two verses here. We're going to close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. He said, look, get back to your first love. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 says this. For the love of Christ constraineth us, keeps us in bounds, keeps us in order. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The love of Christ should constrain us or keep us in bounds or keep us controlled or keep us doing what we should do. The love of Christ. And it's our love for him that allows us to be good scrutinizers of error with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, can Christ see error? Yes, he can. Can we oftentimes see error? Yes, we can. But can we see what's on the inside of man? No, we cannot. That's why we need the love of Christ. Without the love of Christ, we will get it wrong. We will get it wrong. And then 1 Peter 1:8. 1 Peter 1:8. Without the love of Christ, we will get it wrong. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, it's talking about Jesus, ye what? Ye love. And whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Said, you don't see him, but we love him. Why? We love him because he first loved us. John told this church at Ephesus, he said, now this is coming from Jesus. Jesus said, I know your works. saw your reputation, saw your resilience. But let me rebuke you a little bit. You're scrutinizing error so much that you forgot your love for Christ. And you cannot adequately scrutinize error without your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes, as Christians, we can be guilty of that. And we've got to make sure that we have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me finish that area out in Revelations. Here, let me read that for you. Revelations chapter 2. He said this in verse number 6. He gave them another commendation. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And I mentioned that before. He's writing to the church, but he says, to the person that hears, you'll be blessed. Writing to the church, but I know the church corporately may not hear. But he that does hear, got a blessing for you. And Christians, guess what? Each one of us individually make up the church corporately. And so if you do your part, guess what? You leave everybody else's part up to God and them. Let's just make sure we're doing our part. Scrutinize error, yes. But with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's got to be a balance. This church willfully left their first love. What was the reason? Don't know. Possibly, like Brother Watson said, they were scrutinizing error too much, looking at other things. Maybe it was something totally different, but we know this. They definitely left their first love on purpose. And I don't believe it was a quick thing. I believe it was a slow thing. But Jesus came back and he said, I love you and I'm going to rebuke you. And I want you to remember and I want you to repent. And I want you to do those first works. Love me again like you used to. Or I'll come quickly. I'll remove the camp. I'll take the church away and you won't have it. He says, except thou repent. But he did commend them again. He said, the Nicolaitans, he said, hey, you got something that I don't like here either. You got this scrutiny of error down. And so as we go forward tonight, remember how we got started. We got saved. And God loved us. And we were excited about that. And then we got some biblical knowledge. We got smart. We found out what God hates. And anybody that was doing that, guess what we said? We got him, God. Another one. We're the fastest gun in the West. Right? And guess what? If the truth be known, they didn't shoot us down like that. Don't shoot another Christian down. Don't shoot another person down. Give him a chance. Give him a chance. The church at Ephesus got rebuked, but he's rebuking Christians as well. And sometimes we're guilty. Remember the love. But also, remember, there's some laws too. Put them together and then go forward. And this church could be blessed if they did right. I don't know where you're at, but I know I need to work on mine. I need to work on mine. And I trust that God's spoken to you as well. To him that overcometh. Father, thank you once again for this church at Ephesus, Lord, that reminds us of who we are. Reminds us that it's possible for us to forget the cost and the cause of our relationship. You loved us first, and because you loved us, you gave your only begotten Son, Lord. And the cause was that we would not perish but have everlasting life. But then there's a commitment that you're expecting of us, your life for ours, and there's a commitment. You committed your life to us, and you want us to commit our life to you. And then and only then can we scrutinize error adequately. Help us, Lord, to look through your eyes. Help us to leave here differently than we came in, Lord. Not so judgmental of others, but, Lord, loving. We know that there's a balance. And help us, Holy Spirit, to have that right balance of love and control in the church, at our jobs, with our children, with our parents, with our friends, our neighbors, with whoever it is. Lord, help us have that right balance. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need tonight and help us to be constrained by the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor White.